Titus chapter number 2, the book of Titus chapter number 2. Now you say, preacher, this is Easter. Why in the world would we be going to the book of Titus? Well, we dealt on Matthew chapter number 28 during 7 o'clock this morning, and I'm sure your good Sunday school teachers taught you on the resurrection this morning. I know one that preached a little bit down there on to the end of the hall, and I want to be obedient to the Lord, what the Lord's laid on our heart. Titus chapter number 2. Give you a brief history on this book. Paul was writing to young Titus. He was teaching Titus the order of the church. In chapter number 1 of the book of Titus, you'll find that he begins to teach them on how the church is to be established. You'll see the qualification for the preachers during this day and age, and you'll see the rebuking of the false teachers at the end of chapter number 1. Coming into chapter number 2, you'll see the counsel for the women and the men during the church age, and he begins to tell them how they should conduct themselves on daily life and during business. As you come toward the end of chapter number 2, you'll see the servant's duty as Paul begins to instruct how they are to conduct themselves and how they are to serve the Lord. As you come into chapter number 3, you'll see the duty of a citizen in the world's government. Toward the end of that chapter, you'll see that the works are insufficient. You'll also see the consistent living is required of a servant of God. You'll see toward the end of chapter number 3 that we're to avoid unprofitable questions and discussions. Now, you say, preacher, what's that? Now, I'll just give you a whole history and the outline of Titus in 3 chapters. But today we're going to look in chapter number 2. There's something that interests us there, and something that began to burden our heart as we studied and thought of the services today on what the Lord would have us to say. But in Titus chapter number 2, if you found your place and you're able, I'll ask you if you would stand with us for the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. Titus chapter number 2. Notice what he says in verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. That the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now let me say this real quickly. Don't none of you husbands elbow your wife right there. I'm going to help you real quick. Listen to me. Don't elbow your wife right there and you say, the preacher, I said you need to take care of the stuff at home and you needed to be a good wife and to love the kids and to love me. Hey, don't you elbow your wife right there, because I'm going to tell you something. We can go back a few verses and talk about the men. Amen. All right, women, y'all with me? All right. Notice what he says in verse number 6. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to obedience unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. And God, I thank you for the blessings of being here one more time. And Lord, to meet on this Easter service. And God, to talk about the empty tomb and the resurrection and the crucifixion. And Lord, how salvation is so free today. Lord, I'm so grateful to be here in your presence this morning. And Lord, I pray for every need that's represented amongst this place and amongst your children, God, that you would meet the need of the hour. And Lord, I pray if there's one here that's lost this morning and undone without you, Lord, I pray that some way throughout this message, God, that we'd tell them about you and tell them about your love and your grace that is sufficient, and God, that find themselves confessing you as Lord of their life. Lord, I pray that you'd meet the need of this hour. Help this your preacher and Jesus' precious holy name. We did pray, and all of God's children said, amen. You may be seated this morning. Chapter 2 of the book of Titus, and some of you looked around this morning as we begin to talk about the daily living of a servant or of a Christian. Might I say to you this morning, and some people in this life, the only Bible they're going to know is how you lived your life. And let me say this to you this morning. Being a Christian, you ain't got to be one of the most miserable people that's ever walked the face of the earth. You've not got to be somebody that's down and out, look like you've been sucking on sour apples and lemons your whole life. But being a Christian, we can have fun in this world. Amen? We can enjoy the things of the world. I've heard a lot of folks say, well, if I got saved, I'd have to quit doing this and that, and I just have to live a plain life. Can I tell you this morning, I believe God wants His people to be happy. And I don't have to be a partaker of this world, but I'm in this world, and so while I'm in it, I believe it's pleasing to God for His children to have fun. Amen. But let me say this to you, as a child of God, there are some things that are required of you in your daily activity, in your daily life. There are things that are required of you to do and to perform before others. And I believe in all honesty this morning, the church ought to set the example for the living of these nations. And I believe the church ought to be able to show the love of Christ and to teach others about the love of Christ. I had something happen yesterday that I'd never had happen before. And Brother Tommy, it made me feel kind of good. I'd want to have been preached on this thought. Have you ever been mistook for Jesus? I was walking through the fellowship hall yesterday. There was a little boy sitting there in his chair, and I didn't quite hear him, but his grandmother and great-grandmother told me what he said. As I passed by his way, the little fella looked up, and he looked at his grandma, and he said, "Is that Jesus?" She said, "No, that's the preacher." That kind of made me feel good, because if I want to be Christ-like, I heard people ought to see enough Christ in me that they ought to mistake us for Him. Amen. You say, "Preacher, you can't walk on water." Neither can you. "Preacher, you ain't lived right your whole life." Neither have you. "Preacher, you've said things that you shouldn't have said." So have you. You know what our problem is? We worry about what everybody else is doing instead of what we're doing. And if we quit and leave everybody else alone, Brother Tommy, I promise you we'd feel a whole lot better about ourselves. But when we come through Titus chapter number 2, we get toward the end of this, and verse number 13 is where our text is at this morning. He says, "Looking for that blessed hope." I believe Paul was writing to Titus, and he said, "Titus, he's coming again." I believe Titus looked into verse number 13 as Paul would wrote in his letter, and he said, "Looking for that blessed hope." Can I encourage you for just a minute this morning and tell you, Jesus is coming again. He's on His way. He's coming again. You say, "Preacher, I've heard that preached for the 70 years of my life, and He's yet to come back and get the church." Hey, I thank God He's given us one more day and one more opportunity before He comes back. You say, "Preacher, do you really believe deep down in your soul that the Lord is going to come back?" He would have never left the tomb if He wasn't coming back. And might I say to you this morning, Paul told Titus, he said, "Looking." He said, "Be aware of that hope." Well, I got interested on that word hope. And there's a lot of you hoping this morning that North Carolina is going to win the NCAA tournament. Well, I hope you're right, but I'm going to say this. There's a lot of
you got your hopes in who's going to win the race, or you got your hopes in on your job, or you got your hope in your family. But I looked at this word hope, and it means something entirely different than the way that we have the word hope. It means to be sure and to be looking and to examining, putting all trust in what you believe. I believe without a shadow of a doubt this morning that one day those eastern skies are going to part, and the archangel of God and the trump of God is going to sound, and the Savior is going to step out and call the church out of here. You say, preacher, I've seen that on movies and I've heard it talked about. I'm telling you, it's in God's Word, and God's Word ain't never failed, and God's Word ain't never made a mistake, and God's Word has always been fulfilled. Preacher, do you really believe He's coming back? Oh, yes, sir. I do. And Paul told Titus about 1,800 years ago, this word was recorded down, and Paul had wrote to Titus, and he said, looking, he said, pay attention. He said, have your eyes peeled. You say, preacher, do you wake up every morning and believe the Lord's coming? Oh, yes, I do. You say, preacher, how in the world? We are living in a wicked, wicked world. I believe you'd have to agree with me. We're one of the wickeder nations you've ever seen on this side of glory. And can I tell you, we're rotting from the inside. We're deceiving ourselves on the inside. I have never lived in such a day and age when people get offended about everything. Amen? Am I all right? Some of you, I'll offend you before the next 5 minutes. You know that? Somebody, I've done offended some by talking about your wife, and I've done offended some by talking about your husband. I've done offended some of you this morning by telling you He's coming back. But He is. Notice what happens here. He said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you a few things on this morning. We're going to go to the house, but I want you to know something about that great hope. That great hope is coming. And I'm going to say this. Paul was telling Titus, he said, you can have hope and eternal life. He said, you can have hope in eternity. You say, preacher, do you really believe there's an eternity? I believe there's some this morning in the very pits of hell wishing that eternity was over. I believe there's some that Jesus led from captivity to led captive. How when he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and I really believe thou shalt have a doubt, they have just tasted what eternity is going to be like. But can I tell you, I have hope in the eternal things. I want to give you this, number one. If you'll be saved and you're born again this morning, there's some things that will encourage you. If you have hope this morning, you've got hope for a cheerful life when you're in the hour of death. Now, I know this isn't something like we like to talk about, but I feel like it's sufficient. This one needs to be dealt with. I'm going to be honest with you. You're dying this morning. Every single one of you is dying. I'm dying. I can't help it, Brother Tommy, when my heart began to beat at the moment of conception in my mother's womb, my body began its decline to death. You're not going to escape it. You're not going to get by it. There's only two things that are sure in this life, and that's death and taxes. And might I promise you this morning, there's a generation that are leaving out of this world in a heap of trouble, and there's a generation leaving out of here that ain't much older than you and I. And might I say to you, they're meeting eternity face first this morning. Can I tell you right now, somewhere across America, somebody didn't wake up this morning. Might I tell you this morning, the only business that's not going to go under is the funeral home. And might I help you this when you say, preacher, what if Jesus comes back? I believe He's coming back, but if He waits and the Lord doesn't send Him to take the church out of here, every single one of us will face death. But might I tell you this morning, there are benefits of being a child of God in the hours of death. I'm going to give you this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 55. Paul told the church of Corinth, he said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I believe he looked at the word death and he began to see grace. Can I help you real quickly? If you study death, it's symbolic of number 5. If you study number 5, 5 is symbolic of grace. And can I help you real quickly and tell you this morning, there's grace for the dying in God this morning. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 32, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. You say, preacher, I've been to a lot of funerals and there's a lot of weeping and there's a lot of crying and there's a lot of sadness. But I tell you this morning, for a child of God that leaves this side of glory, we are to celebrate them passing over. Because I'm going to tell you, there's been those that's been born again, child of God, that's left this side of glory, hey, that wish they could bring you to where they're at. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want none of them to come back here. And they don't want to come back to this place of suffering and heartaches and troubles and trials. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I've got hope beyond death this morning. Not only that, but it also assures me of immortality. The book of Acts chapter 24 and verse number 15. And have hope toward God, which they themselves will also allow that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and unjust. Can I tell you this morning, because He rose from the grave, listen to me. You think, oh preacher, I'll die and I'll go to hell and that'll be it. Let me help you real quickly. Book of Revelation teaches us this morning that the dead, both great and small, was called up to the great white throne judgment. And there's this false belief that hell's eternal. Let me help you real quickly. Hell's not everlasting. Y'all all right? Hell is not everlasting. You see, Brother Tommy, hell's going to give up those that it has. And they're going to stand before God, known as the Great White Throne Judgment in the book of Revelation. And they're going to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity.
You're right.
You say, preacher, what about those who are saved? The Bible teaches this: to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he says, concerning them which sleep. Now, I'm going to help you real quickly right here. You say, preacher, my grandma or grandpa, they're walking down that street of gold. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, I hate to hurt you this morning. I hate to bother you this morning. But when John saw that new city, hey, everything was passed away. Everything was gone. Hey, might I tell you this morning, we're going to be in the presence of God. Hey, when we leave this side of glory. But might I say to you, they're not walking on a street of gold yet. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place before you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Can I tell you real quickly? He's still working on that place. John saw it. The Bible teaches us that when He has it prepared, He will come again and take us to it. But I want you to notice this. There'll be a resurrection of the dead and the living. Give you this real quickly. There's eternal hope in a heavenly treasure. Colossians 1 and verse 5 says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before the word of the truth of the gospel. Can I tell you, it pays to be a saint of God. There are benefits in serving God. Can I tell you this morning, we are to serve God in faithfulness. We are to serve God in holiness. We are to serve God in daily living. And we are to render ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You know, we have a problem submitting ourselves in the day and age we live in. Do you realize this morning that nobody wants to take the place of a servant? We like to rear back and be in the limelight. But can I tell you real quickly, Paul was telling Titus, to be a servant. To serve others. You know what the church's greatest mission is to do? Is to serve others. Your place is to serve others. And there are crowns to be won. Can I tell you, we have eternal hope and we anticipate Christ's coming. Titus 2 and 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6 and 8 says this, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set for us. He said, I've got a sure anchor in God. Can I tell you, when the storms of life are raging this morning, when the storm of life is raging, God is sure. God is steadfast. Hebrews 6 and 19 says this, which hope we have as an anchor of soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Can I tell you this morning, and I'm giving you this real quickly, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, blessed be the God our Father of Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have hope. Can I tell you, in a world that is a mess, we have hope. I know this morning some of y'all, breakfast is set in, and you're getting to the point you want to sit down and go to sleep. But can I tell you, we have hope. America may be going to hell. We have hope. Your life may seem like you're getting attacked on every side. Peter said, the devil is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Can I tell you? He said, as a roaring lion. He didn't say he was, but he said, as a roaring lion. Can I tell you, you're going to get attacked this morning. You're going to get moved. You're going to get people that tells you your preacher's crazy. He's crazy for preaching that way. He's crazy for telling you that Jesus is coming back. He is. Amen. He is. Amen. And can I tell you, every morning, the only way we can have joy in this life is through Christ. The only way you can have joy in eternity is in Christ. Can I tell you this morning, He's worth serving. He's worth being faithful. Miss Jody's going to come this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed over the congregation. But can I tell you this morning, He's coming again. The tomb was empty, but He is coming again. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around.